So which superhero saved the day? Is it
Superman?
Superman saved the day.
Superman, who's your favourite superhero?
I think I was a Superman. I used to get a bathroom towel pinned to my shoulders. You don't pinned to my shoulders. That's not a good look walking around with a
yeah, but
towel.
You're a kid.
Yeah, but you would never see that now.
No. They have costumes. Costumes are cheap now. You can buy a costume from Kmart for $12 probably.
And you would run down the street trying to make it flap in the air.
Yes.
And it would never flap.
No.
No, because it was just too heavy. Probably.
Jump off the garage roof?
I thought about it, but no.
I like Flash, the one who could run fast.
Oh, so you reckon you just... Well, he'd just go, I'm going to get on the shops, and then just like...
The Flash origin story is quite interesting. So he...
No, it's not really.
Yeah, no. He was a scientist, right?
Right.
And he on the weekend, he went into his lab, and a lightning bolt came through and struck him.
Yep.
What? So it came through the window and struck him in his lab. I'm picking that Flash was on a golf course with his mates.
Yep.
He got struck by lightning.
Yep.
And then he went, fuck, I've got no insurance. Take me back to the lab and we'll pretend it happened there. That's my theory on Flash. And you know what the Flash's real name is? Barry Allen. What a great name for a Barry Allen.
Barry Allen.
Barry
Clark
Allen.
Kent. Superman.
Clark Kent.
More?
Oh, no. I used to do stand-up about how... should I save it for the end? I mean, yes, I'll save it for the end. Save it for the end. Because you know what? I should bring it back because it's a good observation that all the superhero characters have names from our generation.
I reckon you could have a Dave O'Neill jukebox where there's different... And you can just pick out different routines.
Yeah,
because you've got routines about everything.
A lot. Go on, just hit me with the subject.
Yeah. Okay, plumbers.
Plumbers. Oh, yeah, no, I got a plumber. You know, I fixed the washer on my washing machine.
Yeah.
Because my wife's like, you've got to learn how to do it. And the plumber actually showed me how to fix the thing on the washing machine. He said, And so I said to my wife, I'll do it. I'll fix it. And so So I turned on the radio, Triple M, had my ass hanging out, and the dog was barking, and it took me 8 hours. And I said to the wife, that'll be $150 cash, or we can work out some other arrangement. So she wrote me out a check.
Woo! See, off the top of your head, I pressed F7,
and then
the little record came around and popped on the player. Anyway, so I think I saved the day the other day.
You're a hero.
Yeah, I'm a hero.
You're a modern day hero. Was it down the beach? Hero.
No, Alex, friend of the show, father of the grandchild.
Was he anaphylactic? You went to eat a peanut and you went stop. He'd be onto that stuff being a chef, though.
you jumped to a conclusion there.
Yeah, I know.
He's not anaphylactic.
No, it'd be too hard being anaphylactic and being a chef.
Yeah, anyway.
Too hard.
So I had to drop something round there to the house, and he answered the door, and he looked a bit glum.
Oh, no.
I thought, oh, no, something's happened. Everything all right? No, he's just sort of walking down the hallway shaking his head. He was trying to put together a trampoline.
Oh, no.
By himself.
That's really hard work.
Now, I reckon that catapults directly into job for two people.
Oh, absolutely. Trampoline. That's what someone once said. What's the sound of Christmas Eve? Parents swearing as they're trying to put together bikes, trampolines.
Yeah.
You can hear people at 1 in the morning going, fuck, what's the screw?
Well, he had...
When I buy a bike for the kids, I always get it put together. The guy goes, $10 to get it put together. I'm like, that is $10.
That is so well spent.
Well spent.
Yeah.
We had that guy come over and did our IKEA furniture once.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I tried to put the flat packs together, but it's so hard. So he came over together and he's putting together a bookshelf and he just looks up and he goes, you've been a few movies, Dave. Well, yeah. He goes, yeah, I've been a couple of movies. Keep screwing the Allen key in.
A bit quiet at the moment, is it, mate?
I'm like, what movies were that? But he was in The Wog Boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, been a couple of movies. Anyway, go on.
I had a guy come over to my house. This is back in the day when they used to do, they'd bring cable to your house. It was Galaxy. Remember Galaxy?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Before Optus or Foxtel.
Yeah, I think it was all down the telephone line. It wasn't, Anyway, it's the very first one.
Yeah.
And I got it for free because I was on there for some reason.
And an Austar. Remember Austar in the country?
Yeah.
This motel has Austar.
And he comes around to the house and then he goes, I've got to get on the phone and just organize the ring and organize what you got. And he's going, He's going to the guy. Yeah. It's connected up now. It's connected. Yep. I'm at Glenn Robbins' house. And at that point, I reckon the other guy's going, what's his house like? Because the guy just goes, yeah, not bad. Not great.
I remember we had a guy over and he was lying on the floor fixing something. He must have been fixing something under something. And he's looking at my CDs and he goes, bit of a Devo fan, are we, Dave?
He said, don't pass comment. Just, no right to pass comment.
Goes, I love Devo. I'm a bit of a Devo fan too, mate.
Yeah. People come around to your house. Anyway, and then he continued with a phone call. He goes, oh, you want the sports channel? You want the movie channel? He goes, do you want the
adult channel?
And I went, What is that? Oh, look, I said, throw it all in. I don't mind.
The wife might like it.
And then my dad, when he was alive, was staying at my place one time, and I had to go out, so I put on that channel for him. And I came home, and he went, oh, God, can we turn over? And I turned over, and the Jaws was on, and Dad goes, ah, I'd rather watch some shark biting a boat than some ugly bloke, you know, doing his... He's enjoying a shark more than a...
I heard a good adult channel joke on the weekend because, you know, I was doing Shane Jacobson. That's not my dog festival.
Good for you.
We were telling old jokes on stage. It was good fun. And the guy goes into the hotel, the check-in, and he goes to the guy, I've got all my family with me. Is the porn disabled? The guy goes, no, it's normal, you sick bastard. That's a good joke, isn't it?
It is a good joke. So anyway, Alex was about to give up.
So you helped him.
And I'm not.
You're not a handy, but you're
handy. I am not a handyman. No. I'm not a helper. I'm not even third down the line. I'm not good. But I said these words, I think we can do it. Because he had actually, because there were struts that were going around that he had to poke the net through. And he couldn't get, as he was getting, he was trying to bend them, and he broke one, which he had to tape up. And he said, this is what's already happened. And I said, maybe if you hold that end, and we'll go one by one, and went pop, and it went in. And we put it up, strung
Fantastic.
It up.
Fantastic.
And before you know it, the grandchild was jumping around.
Now, every time you see that trampoline, you're going to go.
Yeah, I can't take too much credit, but he was near the top of the mountain, and we both got there. Oh. We both put the flag in.
Yeah, but you helped him. You were the Sherpa.
Yeah, I was the Sherpa.
You were the Sherpa.
And then I got home, and the text just said, you saved the day. Oh. So, you know, I stand
That
proud.
Is tough, especially if you've got the kids nearby. When are you going to finish, Dad? What's happening, Dad?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's not good. But anyway, so I went over there the other day, and then doing jumping around, and then he asked me to get on with him. This is the grandchild.
Oh, God.
Dangerous.
Did you do the double? You know when they do that, when kids used to do that to you?
Oh, the double bounce,
and it wrecks your knees?
Yeah, everything was going. My back was going, my knees were going. But I kept going for a while. And anyway, so there it is. And look, it'll probably be there for a while, then it'll blow over the fence and never be seen again.
We bought a trampoline from these people were moving to Hong Kong in the street down from us. And
That's why?
They were selling everything. And it was $20, and it was an old school one with no net. Oh, and I carried it back through the back gate, and Karen's like, what have you done?
And it was in your show, Dave.
Yeah, it was in the show. Yeah, you can see it on my Twitter. You can see the in the trailer. Yeah. That was a great old school trampoline. As someone said, you break your arm, you break it in two places on that trampoline.
Because with the new ones, you're so safe. You've got a net. Except the grandchild flew out the door the other day and landed. Everything's all right. If everything's okay, he was fine. But you've got to zip that door up. You know, it's a bit like you fly. You just can't be leaving it open.
Brad Oakes, the great man, comedian. He does a joke, a routine about finding a trampoline. He goes, there was a trampoline in my front lawn the other day. I don't know where it came from. There was a kid in it. Anyway, we're in Bendigo, doing this footy club right in the burbs of Bendigo regional town. He does that joke. Everyone goes really quiet, and this woman goes, not a good joke for here, Brad. And Brad's like, why? And she goes, on that oval out there, a man, and there was some horrific accident with a blow-up castle. No, not a trampoline, a blow-up castle, sorry. Yeah. It was a blow-up castle.
Yeah. So,
but how were you to know?
Yeah.
I'm getting blow-up castles and trampolines mixed up.
Well, I was during lockdown going for the walks. You go for the walks, walk the streets over and over and over. Went walk past and there's a kid on a trampoline, but he's behind a fence, right?
Yeah.
And he's going up and down. You just see his head going up and down. And he hasn't got a shirt on. And then he started to bounce a bit higher. And he's dead. He's,
He's nudie. Yeah. He's doing a David Shine, a David Helfgott from Shine.
So, woo-hoo! You know, and he's a kid. And then I automatically felt like I'm a perv. I'm going, hey, I had nothing to do with this. Kids
Sex offender list straight away.
Yeah, so if you are thinking about doing it in the nude, which I wouldn't, because if you did the land on your, what's the one that you land on your stomach?
Yeah, no good.
Because when you're a kid, no problem. Balls haven't dropped yet.
But when you're an adult. I'll play the music, Sam. Good Lord.
Save us, please.
Welcome to Somehow Related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Here we are, Somehow Related. We've got two topics, got to work out how they're related. Should we just get the topics?
Yeah, because we've gone on a bit.
All right, go, Sam.
Carry On Movies and The Great Escape, the event, not the movie. And these topics have been sent in by Ross Noble. Thanks, Ross.
Oh, hang on.
Wow.
Do you reckon that's the Ross Noble? Noble? It could be. Are there more than...
There probably one or two, but that's Sam, an unusual name.
Sam, is it the Ross Noble?
Yes, it's Ross Noble, for whom the Noble Moment is named after.
Friend of the show.
What is that? Sam probably... Which year,
he must speak to her late at night, I reckon. He's often touring.
But what an honour it is to have Ross Noble be a part. We did a live show with him. He created the Noble Moment, and now he's given us a topic. And not surprisingly, Carry On Movies and The Great Escape.
Nurse,
both. Which one? What do you want to talk to?
Well, Carry On. Carry On. Is that Nurse? Is that where Nurse comes from? Where they used to play on Hey Hey all the time.
No,
Nurse.
that was Dudley Moore and Peter.
Oh, well, similar, Cook. Kind of similar. Yeah, Carry On was after the war, wasn't it? Kind of, and then it was in the '70s. Because I remember my dad liked them, like Carry On Up the Khyber.
Carry On. They started
Carry
with
On
nouns,
Matron?
Like nurse.
They did nursing.
Cowboy.
They did royalty.
Sergeant.
They did teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
They must have just gone.
Just pick a vocation.
Banking?
Yeah.
Holidays. They did holidays. Yeah. Carry On Up the Khyber.
Then they went verbs. They went Carry On Cruising.
That's
Carry
right.
On Screaming, regardless.
And who? There was Kenneth Williams?
Kenneth Williams and Sid James.
Sid James. Kenneth Williams. Kenneth Williams was the gay one, wasn't he? The kind of the innuendos.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I can't do his voice, but he's very. His voice was very.
He was very funny. I remember the phone.
Great timing.
Quite funny. Yeah. Great timing.
Yeah, and it was bawdy. It was coarse. It was. It was crossing. You couldn't make it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But it was. It was. It was unabashed. It was funny. Straight up, go for the joke every time with a gentle story.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And there was never a moral. There was no hugging or anything. It was all pretty much do it for the jokes and get off. And what's interesting about it is that it was the sort of, do they still do it now? I don't think they do. Same cast for every film, but people just played different roles.
Oh, really?
So like Python in a way.
Yeah, they had an ensemble.
There aren't examples of ensemble. I mean, the flying
kind of Adam
high.
Sandler sort of does it a bit with his mates. So when you see Grown Up Ones, it's always him, David Spade, Kevin James.
Yeah.
In a smaller kind of way. You're right, though. It's
but that was just a group and then a different person. Same. What was her name? Barbara Windsor?
Oh, Barbara Windsor. Yeah. My God. And there was always a busty woman. Was she the busty woman?
Ooh. And Frankie Howard.
Frankie Howard.
Yeah.
He was funny, too.
Yeah.
I've got to watch one again and see what it's like.
I'd be right in saying it was kind of music hall.
Yeah. Variety-based music hall. Yeah. Innuendo.
Yeah.
Puns.
Yeah.
Dirty but not vulgar.
No. It was all a bit... slap on the bottom,
yeah. It's funny, those British comedies. They used to get shown, must have been shown on TV a lot back in the 70s, I reckon. That's how we saw them.
I don't think you would be able to see them. You probably could see them on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. They'd be there somewhere now.
Yeah.
But they kind of loomed large, those kind of British comedies, didn't they? I mean, then it all bled into like sitcoms like Dad's Army.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Hoffa, Mom, Heidi Ho. Excuse me, I was just pissing by. That's what the French guy used to say. I was just pissing by. Were you passing by?
How many do you reckon they made? I reckon
20,
20,
probably
30 or something like
would
that.
Would have been an industry.
Yeah.
They would have done 2 or 3 a year.
And they probably would have made it.
And caught those guys on contracts.
I was just, where were they made? Was it Sheffield or somewhere
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, it was one of those, or the Ealing Studios
yeah,
or one
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that studio where they made the first Star Wars, that was made in London.
Yeah. And it, well, there was always the same sort of light and the same sort
yeah.
of, it was like a grey day in the UK.
Wow.
Well, I don't know what else we can really say.
Well, they must have been huge, those movies in England. They must have been just box office hits, I assume.
But it would be interesting to see whether or not you could do it again, i.e., is it
they
a genre?
Did.
It's not really a genre. Is it a it's musical.
Sort of like that. Is there anything similar now? I mean, Austin Powers was a bit.
Oh, yeah.
A
That's
little
good.
Bit like
yeah, because he would have. Sometimes,
well, rude, kind of rude, you know, yeah. like innuendo that you know.
And he was Canadian, but brought up very much on British
His
comedy.
His parents were from Liverpool.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. And he did all that, you know.
He used to say, "Ooh, that you are no. awful, but I like you." Who was that? Was that Carry On?
Oh, you are awful, but I like you.
But I like. Maybe that was Benny Hill. Was it Benny
no.
Hill?
No. What's his name? So there was. Hang on, let's go through them. There were the two Ronnies. There was. Benny Hill,
yeah.
And that was who used to having a noble moment. Oh, you are awful, that. But I do like you. Oh. Wasn't Kenny Everett?
A bit earlier than that.
It was earlier than Kenny Everett.
Yeah, yeah.
I always remember that Kenny Everett joke, which I told up in Queensland for Shane Jacobson Festival. Standing on the side of the road with my motorbike, and the cop comes up. What's wrong with your motorbike? I said, piston broke. He goes, yeah, I know you are, but what's wrong with your motorbike?
Jokes are good, aren't they? Jokes are good.
Jokes are good. The guy that did, oh, you are awful, but it was a single performer. He wasn't like Hale and Pace or any of those other guys. It was just him. Okay, let's keep moving and I'll remember it.
Maybe you can have a think about it during the thinking music.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we talk about The Great Escape?
Well, it was a great movie, but it's actually based on the real event. And Sam did say the event, not the movie.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So it was actually in Stalag, one of the Stalags, and it was in, I think it was Poland. I remember seeing a documentary.
Yeah, I think it was Poland.
Where they got engineers to try and, they went to the site of the prisoner of war camp.
Yep.
And they showed where the tunnels were and stuff, and they had to recreate them or something.
Wasn't there Tom, Dick and Harry? There was three.
Yeah, the three tunnels.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And so the plan
was one. Was that well, the idea of that was if they find one, well, they yes. won't find the other, and then if
yes.
they find that one, they won't find the other one.
Yeah, because the actual movie was close to fact in a lot of that stuff, and the way they used to get rid of the dirt was they'd put it in their
pants.
Trousers and boom, yeah,
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
boom. I should know. It's not the film, so I shouldn't. And I think in the film it was largely owned by the Americans, wasn't it? Or
yeah.
am I right? Meaning it was, I don't know, it was more multicultural, I think, in the actual event.
The only three that got out were, I think, Norwegians.
Racist,
I think the Norwegians.
That's all that got out. So
no,
it wasn't,
well,
yeah.
What happened was they planned to get hundreds out, and they got, was it 96 or 76 out? But
they all got caught.
Well, except for three. Three got away.
Right.
Three got to boats. Because in the movie, it's an Australian who gets away. He walks into Spain.
Ah, right.
But in the actual event, but you know, in the movie, how they shoot a lot of the, remember that, and they pull back the thing, and they just machine gun them. That happened.
Oh,
they
horrible.
Shot
horrible.
Hitler and wanted to
horrible.
Shoot them all,
mm.
and they ended up shooting maybe half of them.
Yeah.
But.
And didn't the tunnel come up inside the fence? Did that actually happen? Or that was in
no.
the movie.
Yeah, just outside of the fence. So it actually came up. Because I love all that stuff, and I've read a book about it. It actually came up inside the tree, outside the fence, in the trees, but the trees didn't offer much coverage. So, because it was winter,
right.
It was
yep.
winter,
yep,
and it was the coldest day or something like that. It was really cold. It was snowing,
yep,
and so they got 76, and then the last guy got out and was seen and surrendered. Like, you know, so
it would be hard. It was sandy. They're on sandy ground,
yeah.
I think, so that made the tunnels a bit easier. But they used to build the tunnels with because it was
scaffolding.
Sand. Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
They wouldn't hold themselves up.
Yeah, with boxes and stuff.
Which
yeah.
I wonder, where did they get the wood from?
They got some from packing crates and stuff, I think, from deliveries and stuff.
Just the human mind can do is incredible.
Well, especially when you've got engineers and soldiers,
yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
So if me and you went into a prisoner of war camp, you know, 50s and 60s, we'd be like, oh, but these blokes were like in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah,
fit,
yeah,
young,
yeah, yeah.
trained men.
Yeah.
You know, guys that would be building bridges and stuff like that, they'd be like, really fit ones. It'd be like ones that could do the four. There'd be printers. So you had an immense skill set there, you know. So
the whole thing with Steve McQueen jumping the motorbike, that didn't happen.
Great bit, though.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, with a film, you sort of have to do something like that. You've got to have a, you know. And like, how long did it take for them? About a year to build.
Was it a year? Was it?
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
What else do I know about it? Yeah, I know, they planned for a lot of people to escape, but one of the tunnels collapsed. I think that was in the movie too.
It was under. They used to lift the fireplace. Well, hang on, was it the fireplace?
They were inside the. They're inside their cabins or whatever the entries to the.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the thing. Well, I mean, they were quite sophisticated because they would have problems with water, so someone built a water pump to pump the water out. Yeah. Man, those escapes, incredible. Incredible.
Well, what else? Yeah.
What else? Let's have some thinking music.
Yep, let's have some thinking music. No, I don't think we should have anything from the film.
Yeah.
What was the head of the thing go?
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Are you getting all mixed up?
Yeah, and that's not Hogan's Heroes, is it?
Oh, probably.
It might be Hogan's Heroes.
Great.
Okay.
Speaking of shows that present the reality of life in a prisoner war camp, it's amazing that Hogan's Heroes got up. Like,
I know.
Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Why don't we. Can we watch a bit of a carry-on film?
Yeah, let's have a carry-on movie.
How about we have the trailer from Carry-on Matron?
All right, let's hear that. I love it.
Carry-on Matron. It's dynamite when your favorite laughter makers get together again in their own brand of medical madness.
Shh, it's all right, don't scream.
What do you want?
Well, it's very nice of you, but I haven't got the time.
Sidney James, a crook who started at the bottom and stayed there. Joan Sims, as an expectant mother who's never heard of a food-free diet.
Well, now you're 3 weeks overdue and your husband's getting very impatient.
Well, he can talk. Took him 7 years to get me pregnant.
Hattie Jakes, the matron, who's not quite with it, but can't do without it.
Certainly not! It's just that I'm a simple woman with simple tastes and I want to be wooed.
Oh, you can be as wooed as you like with me.
God, she's a sex maniac.
What a carry-on matron.
That was funny. Oh, my God. Just talking to Glenn during that, Dick Emery was the...
Yep.
That was him who said that.
Oh, you are awful, but I
think it was Dick Emery. Pretty sure it was Dick Emery. well, okay, have a guess, Glenn. Connection.
I'm going to say that the first carry-on movie was written by someone who was in...
the camp,
and maybe escaped and maybe got caught and brought back, but then lived to have the movie made.
I'm going
to
say similar, but I think one of the actors from the Carry On movies was in that prison of war camp. Not one of the rides, but one of the actors.
Similar. Yeah, I think we've got it covered.
All right, well, let's go to Sam. Sam, what is the answer?
Guys, since this topic was sent in by Ross Noble, why not let him tell us the answer?
Oh, that'd be great.
Great. Oh,
fantastic. Can you do that?
Please stand by. The next voice you hear will be Ross Noble.
Hello?
Ah!
Is that Ross Noble?
This is speaking. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Go ahead, caller. That's fantastic. Ross, you came up with the idea for the show. The man himself, the man who created the noble moment on the show, has actually given us the idea. And now Sam has rung you. I don't know whether you realize this. Sam has rung you on our behalf for you to give us the answer. I hope we haven't caught you at a bad moment.
No, not at all. You're scanning. So I don't know if you do this, but you find yourself often in a hotel room by yourself, and Wikipedia link to link to link, just filling your head with facts. That's what I like to do. And this one just popped out, and it just blew my mind. So where are you at? Where are you?
We've both guessed, and I said that one of the actors from Carry On movies, like Kenneth Williams, was in The Great Escape.
Yeah, and I said that someone who was in The Great Escape actually wrote the first script and then they held on to it and then they made it in the 1950s.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. because Talbot Rothwell is, which is such a brilliant name of the era. Talbot Rothwell, who wrote all those Carry On films, the early ones,
yeah,
he was imprisoned in Stalagluft 3, I think it was.
Yep.
And he was literally, that was the prisoner of war camp where that the Great Escape was based on.
Fantastic. Wow. That's incredible.
And not only that, there was another. Do you remember that old movie, The Wooden Horse? Like the.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Well, that film took place in the same camp, and then they made a movie version of it. And in the same camp with Talbot Rothwell was the actor Peter Butterworth, who was also in the Carry On films, right? So they started writing together while they were in the camp. They used to do these concert parties, and so Peter Butterworth went on to be in the Carry On films. And then when they came to make The Wooden Horse, which was based on what happened in their camp, that Peter Butterworth auditioned to be one of the people jumping over the wooden horse, because he had been one of the guys who jumped over the wooden horse to cover the noise of the digging.
Yeah.
And the American film producer, and this is a lesson to any actor that worries about not getting cast in something, he didn't get cast in the film because they didn't think he looked heroic enough.
God, it's a gift that just keeps on giving. That's probably one of the greatest somehow related we've had. That, yeah.
I thought it'd be up your street. Yeah.
Was Carry On, the Carry On films, was that in your time? Because it was very much in my
70s.
Time.
70s. Well, 70s.
Was it 70s?
Yeah, it went to the 70s.
Would that have any influence on anything on your comedy at all?
Oh, look, I grew up on all that stuff. And, you know, a lot of my references are even pre that. A lot of my references go back to, like, music hall stuff. Yeah, so I very much grew up on the car. I was obsessed. When I was a kid, I loved Frankie Howard, you know.
Yeah.
And even though it turns out that he was a massive sex pest, which kind of takes the edge off things. And, yeah, so I, you know, you grow up on the, you know, you grow up on them, especially in the UK, you grow up on those films. And then the best Carry On thing for me was they tried to make one in the 90s. They tried to make Carry On Columbus. And the problem was is that they were so of their time that they tried to make Carry On Columbus, and it was so terrible that every single person that was in it is trying to it's so embarrassed that they were in such a terrible film that I think Maureen Lipman turned up, and she said that basically if the script is incredibly bad, you basically give yourself a twitch. And she started twitching, and they called action, and she started twitching like, I've got to do something to try and make this funny. And she looked across, and the other person in the scene was also twitching.
Oh, nurse. I mean, they gave us a lot of stuff, Carry On, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, Ross, are you in New Zealand? I heard you're in New Zealand. Is that right? What are you doing there?
Yeah, I'm in New Zealand, yes.
What are you
doing? Can you say what you're doing, or should we keep it stum?
Yeah, probably keep it stum, okay. To be honest.
Yeah, okay.
I've signed a load of NDAs. I can't really say what I'm doing.
I just want to say you'd make a great dwarf or a troll or
put it this way, right? It has been mentioned on many occasions that I don't look of this world.
Yes.
Shall we
say? Yes, you're perfect Lord of the Rings person.
So. Oh, right. let's just stop talking.
Stop it.
I know what it is. It's the Frankie Howard story. That's what it is.
It is. absolutely is.
Well, it's, see that. What's his name? Steve Coogan is doing the life story of the sex pest.
Jimmy Savile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy Savile. That's very.
I'm up for the Gary Glitter biopic. So. And Glenn, let's be honest, you'd make a great, you know.
Who's another one?
Yeah, you know, I want to go back to WA.
Rolf Harris.
Rolf Harris. Yeah.
I'll do Rolf.
I tell you, let's do that. Let's all play those characters, but in a kind of a spin off of that. I'll tell you who, Glenn, I have to say. you would play, you wouldn't even need to act in this, right? I had the weirdest experience, right? I won't keep you long, lad. I went to the dentist, and the dentist went, "Oh, you grind your teeth." And he said, "I said, don't grind my teeth. I've never ground my teeth." He went, yeah, you grind your teeth. And they said to me, "You need to go and get like a sleep app, you know, like a test for the sleep app."
Yeah, that, yeah, I do that.
Have you got the?
I've got the mask. Gear? Yeah, I've got the mask. Yeah,
well, I got the mask. Changed my life, honestly. It turns out I've been tired for 15 years, and I got the mask. But the sleep apnea. The sleep apnea doctor guy, the guy that does all the things, I'm not joking, Glenn, I honestly thought it was you doing a character.
Oh, really?
Well, that'd give you bad dreams for a start.
He was exactly, like, literally, he looked like you, he sounded like you. And I'll be honest, when he was diagnosed and all these things, I couldn't really take him seriously.
Yeah.
I'd love to. I wish you'd taken a selfie. That would have been fantastic. But anyway. Good on him.
Well, hey, Ross, thanks a lot for that. That was a great somehow related. Good work.
No worries at all. If I come up with any more, I shall plug into Sam's mainframe and send them across.
And you know that you live strong on our podcast purely for
the often every mentioned.
Because I reckon when Ross Noble said that he listened to this show, it was a turning point for me. I reckon if someone like Ross would listen to this show, I feel very honoured.
We had Ross, and then we had Lavinia Nixon within the same 6 months.
We've got the gamut covered. Yeah. So Noble Moment lives strong.
I haven't got a Lavinia one next. Oh, good Lord, I'm behind. I love it. I genuinely love it. When you're reaching for the names and you go, oh, it's a Noble Moment. I'll be out there on my tractor cutting my grass or whatever.
You're a good man.
All right, talk to you. And
we'll see you again. We'll say hello to the hobbits.
keep the voice down for God's
sake. All right.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Incredible.
Jeez, you were a bit naughty.
What do you mean? So, asking what he was doing.
Yeah.
I know, but, you know.
He's probably not.
We're
not allowed to talk about it. You can't say.
Maybe it's the New Zealand version of Celebrity Apprentice, because he did that here, didn't he?
He was very good on that.
Oh, he came second.
I watched it because, and he was fantastic. He was everything. He was funny.
Yeah.
He did the job.
And pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really smart. And he took people on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, God, what can't he do?
What can
he do? And he can drive a tractor and he can ride a trials bike.
But can he put a trampoline together with his son-in-law?
Well, which brings us back to something were you going
I was going to finish off with my stand-up. Okay, so think about. I went and saw one of those Marvel movies with my kids, and I still didn't really like it, you know, Avengers, whatever.
Never seen one.
My son's, but Dad, that's because those movies aren't for you, they're for my generation. I'm like, bullshit, all those movies are based on comics that we read in the 70s and the 80s.
On paper.
Yeah, and you can tell they're from the 70s, 80s, because the real name of the superheroes are a giveaway. So in Captain Marvel, there's a young blonde superhero, and she goes, "My real name is not Captain Marvel, my real name is Carol." Carol! Carol's retired and works at the chemist one day a week. And then you've got like Iron Man's Tony. Who else is there? Oh, Wonder Woman's, what's her name? She's Diane? No, something like that. You know, as I said, The Flash is Barry.
Yep.
I mean, imagine being somewhere in the superhero world and they said, "Don't worry, you're stuck under a truck. No problems. We've called Barry, Tony, and Carol." What have they called the local Rotary Club?
And now there is a superhero called Glenn who saved the day.
Yes, Glenn.
So if you are thinking about putting up a trampoline or whatever, would I come around?
You probably won't.
I probably won't.